The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
We're going to go harder, more intense after our God dream, because God has big dreams, big desires, and he has nothing but good things that he wants to bring to you. And so if you'll give me just a few moments this morning, and if you'll talk back to me this morning, I promise you God will speak to you. The focus over the next few weeks is sweet dreams, but we want to dive into the things that keeps you up at night. Now you might say, Damon, nothing is keeping me up at night. I'm sleeping perfectly, but I want to go at the thing that you're thinking about the most. You know, the thing that you may not tell somebody, that dream, that big thing that you are afraid to utter now, or maybe it's a sickness, or it's a desire, or it's something that you're facing, and you wake up in the morning, and it's still there. That's what we want to go after, because God wants to give you sweet dreams, dreams that you know that when he is on the scene, you can accomplish. He wants to remove the obstacles from your life and let you know that he's for you. And so this morning, I just want to read a quick story. We'll set the foundation and we'll get you out of here, because at the end of our service, we're going to party. We said last week that we're going to have an after party, and we've got things set aside just for you. If you're a part of our city students, you can be dismissed right now. We've got things with Pastor Jared and Charity just for you. Last week, we had our kids and our students serving all over the property. And so it's just fun to see what God's doing here at City Place Church. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 23. I'll give you a few seconds to find that. While you're doing that, I also want to let you know that at the end of our service, we have our next step sessions where my wife and I spend time with you, just downloading with you why God called us to Florida, why City Place Church exists. And our first week of every single month when we do our Next Steps classes, I welcome the church party. And so we invite you to that. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23 says this. It says, "Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath. Goliath was his name. He came up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men said to David, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches.'" Everybody say money. Come on, say money. "Then he will give him his daughter, and he will give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Everybody say, no more taxes. Verse 26, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, and he said," now repeat this to me again. "You have a problem. It's in front of you. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Let's pray this morning, and then we'll jump right in. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Speak clearly to us today. Let our dreams be big, and let us be able to face the thing that's in front of us, knowing that you're on our side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I love the story of David. David is the focus of the text we read this morning. We're talking about sweet dreams, but we're landing on the things that keep us up at night. And as I stated earlier, you might say, "Well, Damon, things aren't keeping me up at night." But I'm coming this morning for the thing that you have been thinking about, the dream that you have been wanting to go for, but you haven't grabbed hold of it yet. I'm not sure. It could be a sickness. It could be something that you have been having attached to you, but it hasn't moved yet. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, in the story that we read, it says that David walks out, and as he is talking to men, the men describe to him an obstacle that is in front of him. It says that there is a giant whose name is Goliath. How many of you have heard the story of David and Goliath? You know, David the stone. We'll get to that in a minute. It says that there is a giant. And if you read the text earlier in 1 Samuel 17, it says that there was a giant named Goliath, and he was 9 feet tall. It is the equivalent of the screen behind me. It, if you look at me, I'm 6'9". No. I'm joking. But our screen is 9 feet tall, so you can see that compared to me, this screen would be considered a great obstacle. And it was the same way with Goliath. The Bible says that Goliath was 9 feet tall. He was a Philistine. And if you read the beginning of 1 Samuel 17, it says that when he walked out making some noise, yelling things. Bring me a man who is willing to fight me. Bring me somebody who is willing to step up and face this big obstacle. He walks out and he says, is there not somebody who is willing to see an obstacle that looks like it cannot be removed, it cannot be taken down, it cannot be overcome? Is there not one person willing to step up and face it? Is there not one person, one man, one woman who has looked at the obstacle that is in front of them and done nothing? Is there not one person willing to face the generational curse of sickness in your family, the generational curse of financial lack, the generational curse of impurity, the generational curse of drug addiction? Is there not one person willing to face an obstacle that seems too big? Is there not one person to go after the dream that seems beyond your reach? That's what he says at the beginning. And the Bible says that on the left side of the mountain is the Israelites, and on the right side of the mountain is the Philistines. But in the middle is a 9-foot giant. If you continue to read from the beginning of 1 Samuel, it says that this 9-foot giant that seems insurmountable walks out with armor. He's got a helmet on his head. He's got a coat that the Bible says weighs 125 pounds. He's got brass shields to cover his legs. He's got a big, thick belt. And in front of him, he's got an armor bearer, someone carrying his shield. Everything around this giant seems like it can't be penetrated, seems like it can't be moved out of the way. The giant in front of you can seem like it's insurmountable. He walks out making noise. But can I argue the same point, that the giant and the obstacle of your life that seems insurmountable is still dressed as if he's waiting to be attacked? He's waiting for somebody to come and approach him. Your dream is waiting for you to attack. Your dream is waiting for you to wake up one morning and say, today is the day that I'm going after my dream. Even though your dream seems like, or your problem seems like, you cannot tackle it, it shows up to the fight, assuming that there is the possibility that it can be defeated. The 9-foot giant doesn't show up wearing nothing at all to protect itself. It shows up assuming that there is one person that is willing to take it on. So it's got a shield, it's got a helmet, it's got armor to protect its body, it's got things to protect his legs, because if somebody would step up, there is the possibility. I know this because Goliath says, is there not a man that is willing to face me? And if you face me and win, my people will serve you. Can I tell you this? And it's a fact that the things that are keeping you up at night, the dreams that you're dreaming about right now, the things that you have not wanted to face, or the things that's been locking itself to you, the thing that's been screaming the most at night, the things that's been in front of you on a consistent basis. Can I tell you that the minute that you decide that you want to show up, it says to you that if you will just show up, that it will make itself subject to you and your God. Goliath looks at the people and he says, is there not a man, a person, a woman who's willing to show up and face me? And if you beat me, I, along with everybody here, will be subject to you. I want to tell you this morning that there is a fact that the thing that you've been facing, the dream that's in front of you, the thing that you hesitate sometimes to go after, the minute that you decide to attack it, that thing, that dream can become subject to you and your God. It becomes subject to you and your God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So I have this obstacle, this giant in front of me. And the Bible says that the giant showed up for 40 days and 40 nights. I've been going to sleep thinking about my dream. I've been going to sleep thinking about my problems. I've been waking up every single day and it's still in front of me. 40 days, 40 nights, this giant wakes up every single day, shows up looking for somebody to face him. And nobody wants to do it. The Israelites are on one side. The Philistine people are on the other side. The Israelites are there to defeat the giant, but none of them move. They hear him say every single day, is there not one person who's willing to show up and face me? And if you beat me, I'll serve you. But nobody shows up. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Meaning, yes, you will show up for the fight, but I have to realize that my fight is not with my obstacle. I have to invoke my big God. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I show up to face my dream. I show up to face my addiction. I show up to face my health problem. But at the end of the day, I invite my big God to handle my big problem. I invite my big God to handle my big dream. I show up for the fight, but God handles everything else. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching, but you're not talking back. Is there not somebody willing to face me, the giant says? And if you're willing to face me, I will become subject to you and your God. There is more power inside of you and me than we let on. But if you and I will decide to face our giant, then our giant says, I will be subject to you. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in the God that that problem, that dream is subject to. For it casts down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into the captivity, the Bible says, to the obedience of Christ. The giant is walking around, your situation is walking around, your dream is walking around, waiting for you. Waiting for you. And it says that if you come after me, I can be subject to you and your God. But I can also argue, because it's found in the text at the beginning of 1 Samuel. In fact, it's verse 9. It says, but if I stick around long enough, you will be subject to me. Can I tell you that the paralysis that you and I face when we're dealing with the situations of our life that we can't shake, or the dream that we don't even risk failure to go after, can I tell you that your giant is going, you working for me? For 40 days and 40 nights, the people of Israel didn't even know that the giant had made them subject to everything that he was telling them. Can I argue with you this morning that you and I standing still, you and I allowing our problem, our situation, our circumstance to dictate, is us just moving according to what it wants us to do? And so we find in the story that I read to you that when David rose up, that there has been a giant in front of him. And the Bible says that the giant, when the men began to describe to David everything that is taking place, they say, now listen, David, there is a giant that is in front of us, and he is from Philistines. He is from Gath, but he is a Philistine. I looked up the word Philistine, and it means immigrant. So what they were saying was the problem that we're facing is something we didn't ask to be here, but it found its way into my life. Can I tell you that the dream that you wanted, that's in front of you, the circumstance that's around you, you didn't ask for it, but it's there. Now you may say, Damon, the dream that I have, the dream that I want, now how can that be considered a problem? It's not a problem. But you may not have asked for the dream that you haven't yet grabbed hold of. My own personal story is that dreaming I was going to be an athletic trainer in the NBA. And that's where I was going to be. But God dropped something in Taisha and I that there was a place in Orlando that needed a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of God. And my dream was yelling out to me, is there not a couple that is willing to drop everything and move to the place of dreaming? Move to a place where life and faith will be ignited. Move to a place where leaders can be established. Is there not one person? No answer. Is there not somebody willing to pastor a group of people in Vista Lakes? Nobody. Is there not somebody willing to take the risk on God to knock down the giants in Orlando? My wife and I said, we will show up for the fight. We will answer the call. We didn't ask for the dream, but God gave us the dream. The dream can seem insurmountable. But I'm telling you, if you will attack the dream, God will show up, because my fight is not against my dream. It's not against my enemy. My fight moves me out of the way and let God handle it all for me. Can I get an amen? So in front of you, the men said, is this problem, David? And he's been coming the last 40 days. Now, David, listen, I don't want to say this too loud, because I've been here for 40 days and I'm not trying to go out there and fight him, David. So listen, I got to whisper this, David. I've been content with staying where I am. I'm alive. I'm safe. I'm not trying to take no major risks. So listen, I'm going to whisper this to you, okay? I've been dealing with this health situation for a long time. I've come to accept it. My family's been dealing with this financial problem. Listen, it's okay. We're struggling to make ends meet right now, but we okay. We fine. I'm not trying to change my situation right now, because this thing in front of me, I'm not even trying to go after. It's making a lot of noise. Listen, David, here's the thing. The king said this. I'm not willing to take this risk, David. The king said that anybody who defeats this giant, anybody who's willing to allow God to do what he wants to do in their life, the king says that they will be made rich right away. No, don't talk that loud, David. Don't talk that loud. Don't talk that loud, David, because I'm content right where I am. The Bible says that David says, now say what? You mean to tell me that the king is willing to change my circumstance from being where I am to now living in financial prosperity? How many of y'all are content right now, right where you are financially? Let me see your hand. Uh-huh. You're content. You have everything you need. Now, can I say this to you? This is not a prosperity point in the message, but you can dream for more money. You can desire to have more influence in your finances. You can desire to not live broke, busted, and disgusted. You can allow God to bless you beyond your wildest dreams in your money. Don't let anybody put you or your big God in a box. I'm telling you what, there has never been a financial overflow, mind-blowing person in my family. Everyone is working till retirement. I want the financial favor and blessing of God that allows me to make an impact in the kingdom of God. Don't let someone put you in a salary position and tell you that this is as good as it gets. Don't let someone dictate to you how much God wants to bless you. You let God pour out all that he has for you. When David hears this, he says, you mean to tell me that this little shepherd boy can go from earning little to becoming buku rich? And nobody else wants to attack the giant? Look, let me tell you what. I used to look at this. We used to play as a kid. We say, how many of y'all would jump in the ring for $1 million with Mike Tyson? Y'all know Mike? Back in the day, I'd be like, I ain't jumping in the ring. Then I got smart. I thought to myself, I'm going to do that because I can get disqualified and you would still owe me $1 million. If Mike could bite somebody's ear, surely I could bite his. Show me the money. That thing that seems insurmountable. It's only that way until I show up to fight. So David leans in a little bit more. He says, now, you mean to tell me that whoever fights the giant, the king, will make him rich? He says, but David, no, David. Don't get too excited, David. There's more. David, whoever defeats the giant will also get his really fine daughter. Shh. Don't be talking so loud, David. I'm fine with my relationships, my friends right now. Yes, they're not going anywhere. They're not dreaming about anything. But don't talk too loud, David. I'm content where I am. David looks and he says, you mean to tell me that God is willing to give me godly relationships that I don't have to fight for? God relationships that I don't have to seek out? Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, here this morning, that on the other side of what seems to be a problem, there are godly relationships. There are godly friendships that you don't have to chase down, but God has designed for you. David looks at this guy and he says, you mean to tell me that Saul wants to give his daughter to the one that wins and y'all aren't moving? There are relationships that you have been praying for, seeking God's face for, and God says that it's going to come through your attacking the thing that's been holding on. It's coming through you attacking the big dream. There are godly relationships on the other side of what seems like a problem. But can I tell you that when David talks to this guy, the guy says, but wait, there's even more. Not only do you get to be rich, not only do you get godly relationships, but the taxes of your family are non-existent. How many of you freely give of your tax money? They don't ask you for it, they take it. How many of y'all, if they gave you a choice and they said, you can choose to pay taxes, you can choose not to pay taxes, how many of y'all would say, you know what, I'm giving it freely? Nobody in this room is willing to be taxed, have things pulled from you, have things taken from you, have things placed on you. It's what the enemy does every single day, and we don't argue about it at all. He comes to steal, the Bible says. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. It's the same way, but in this text, it says that if you face the giant, this is what the king says. The king of kings, and the Lord of lords, to play off of the king. What he's saying is the king is telling you this morning that the thing that has been taxing you in your life, when you face your giant, and when you show up for the fight, you introduce him to your big God. And he says that the thing that's been taxing your health, the thing that's been taxing your marriage, the thing that's been taxing your finances will not tax you again. How many of y'all would want to live a tax-free life where the problems that you were facing in this season of your life don't follow you to your next season of your life? So when David hears all of this, he says, wait a second now. Wait a second. What's in front of me? It's either a problem or it's a promise It's all in how I look at it. The fact of the matter is that the giant, the sickness, the financial problem, the circumstance of your life, it's either a problem or it's a promise. It's all in how you look at it. When David sees the giant, the 9-foot giant, he doesn't see the problem. He sees the fact that God is going to move him from one level of finance to financial overflow. He sees that he has one level of relationships to now flowing in godly relationships. He sees that the things that used to tax him in his life aren't taxing him anymore. He's seeing God show up for him only if he just faces the giant that's been saying, "Bring me somebody who is willing to show up and face me. Because if you beat me, I become subject to you and your God." Can I tell you that your God is waiting for you to show up? Because on the other side of that big giant, that thing that's keeping you up at night, that circumstance that you haven't been able to shake, on the other side, it's a promise. It's always a promise. Because the Bible says that the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen. So knowing that it's a promise on the other side, but I need to change my perspective to see that God wants to move me from one level to the next level. I want to tell you that you need not worry, because it accomplishes nothing. Your worrying accomplishes nothing. I heard someone say that worrying is crossing a bridge before you ever get there. Watch this. Have you ever gotten the email that said, "I want to meet you in the morning," from your boss person? And all night or all weekend, you're thinking, oh my goodness, he or she gonna talk to me about something I did wrong. They're gonna let me go. Oh no. And all week long, you're going through and you're fighting, and oh my goodness, and the morning comes of the meeting, and he says, "I just want to let you know that the Christmas party is happening on Thursday this year, not Friday." Oh my goodness, all of the emotion, all of the problems, the situation, you taking Tums and Rolaids, R-O-L-A-I-D-S. All of that, you're taking all of that, and come to find out that it was an announcement about the Christmas party. You don't need to worry. So since you don't need to worry, you should attack it. You should attack it. The Bible says, if you finish 1 Samuel 17, I got to move on because I got to close. Worship team, you can come on forward. Worship team, you come on up. The Bible says, watch now, that David hears everything that the guy says, and immediately he's like, "Hey, look. I'm going to fight him." He goes to Saul and he says, "Saul, I can fight the guy. Just show it to me." Saul says, no. Look. I am paralyzed in my situation. And I'm not trying to go out there. And I can tell you right now, you can't handle it either." Saul was a life sucker. Sucked the life out. But David looks at him. Oh, this is why I love David. In fact, I love David so much that I named my son David. David looks at him and he says, "Hey, listen, you don't understand. But when I was in the field, I faced several obstacles. Because you see, I was caring for my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear showed up." Oh my. And he said, when they grabbed him and they grabbed the sheep, they started running. And I started chasing after them, and I grabbed them and I destroyed them, because it was God that delivered them over to me. And the same God that has placed this obstacle in front of you, and it's now my problem, it's going to be the same God that delivered him into my hands. So Saul, I need you to move out of the way. I need you to go to sleep, because you don't need to worry anymore. I'm going to attack it. So the Bible says that David, you should know the story. If you haven't heard it, it's great. I'm going to tell it to you. It says that David grabs 5 stones, puts them in a pouch, and he grabs a slingshot. And it says that David shows up, and as he shows up, the giant says, "Who is this little scrawny little boy?" Because when you look at your obstacle compared to yourself, it looks like you shouldn't be there. But David says, hey, this whole time, nobody wanted to face you because your armor says that you can't be penetrated. Your shield bearer in front of you says that I can't get through you. And today you're even talking about me because I heard you say that you will destroy me in front of everybody today. But I want you to know, Goliath, I want you to know dream, I want you to know financial problem, I want you to know marriage problem, that this morning and today at City Place Church, that you are standing in front of me and I want to introduce you to my big God. And so David tells him that today, my big God, because I don't wrestle against you, my warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So I'm introducing you today to my big God. And today my big God is going to drop you off into my hands. And so the Bible says that Goliath begins to talk and he's making all this noise. And as he's talking, the Bible says that David doesn't wait anymore. The waiting period is over, ladies and gentlemen. You waited long enough. Now, since you aren't worrying, you're not concerned, the goal is to attack. And the Bible says that David looks at the giant, grabs one stone, puts it in a slingshot, and no longer is he waiting. The Bible says that he begins to run. And as he's running, he's spinning and twirling the rock. And as he lets go out of the slingshot, the Bible says that this one stone, and I have no clue how accurate David would have been in the past, but it says that this one stone finds its place in Goliath's head. And the Bible says that the giant falls. I find it funny and very curious that the place that he was trying to protect is the place that was hit. See, can I tell you that even though it seems like he can't be penetrated, I believe that when David decided to show up, God said, I'll take it from here. And that little small stone became a boulder in God's hands. And the Bible says that David ran to the giant, grabbed his own sword, and cut his head off. This morning, I want to tell you that your God is awake. And since your God is awake, you can go to sleep. You face your dream. You show up to your dream. You attack that circumstance. You attack that situation because your God is awake.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.